Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am your host today, Michelle Berquist, for Women Lead, and with me, our leading lady today, is the lovely Deidre Maloney, who's the president of the coolest business name ever called Momentum, LLC. But we invited Deidre on the show today because we want to tackle this topic of work-life balance, and this is Deidre's specialty. So, Deidre, welcome. Welcome, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited because I'm like, let's debunk this, right? The myth is there is no work-life balance. Isn't that where we're at as far as our whole world right now? There's no such thing. Am I right?
You are 100% right. I think I'm becoming known as the anti-work-life balance person. And I think the thing about it is we just need to get real about it. The thing about work-life balance, it was created a long time ago in the 1970s in the UK, and it was at a very different time in our lives where technology was different and our lives were different. And really the issue around work-life balance is this notion that if we just get the right planner system and some discipline that we can have it all. And what I'm here to say and what I strongly believe is that we can't have it all. When we try to have it all, when we try to do everything perfectly, continue to move up in our jobs and impress our bosses or work in our businesses, and then get home on time to read the perfect storybook to our kid before having the perfect dinner with our partner, before getting our bubble bath in, we're setting ourselves up for failure, we're setting ourselves up for stress, and we're setting ourselves up for guilt. So what I believe is instead of having it all, you need to figure out your all. We all need to figure out our all and what that means to us. And that means what do we love most, what feeds us most, what's most meaningful to us, letting that be our priority, and then letting some of the other stuff go, which, of course, means a little bit of sacrifice and a lot of change, and that's scary.
Okay, you got to stop right there. So if I'm saying, like, housekeeping is not high on my list or cooking or any of that, it's like I can let it go? Really?
Absolutely. Exactly. And it's not just the obvious tasks that none of us, well, some people, I guess, like housekeeping. I know my mother does. But it's not just the tasks that we don't love, but it's everything from, you know, I've been in this book club for years and years and years, and it's not really feeding me anymore. Or I'm seeing certain people for lunch, and it's not turning out to give me a lot of energy. Or I've been doing the same workout class for a while, and I think I need to change it up. So it's also just the things that maybe we like somewhat, but we don't love anymore or as much as the other things in our lives. So maybe now we need to focus on the things that matter the most and take a break from some of those other things and make some sacrifices along the way about what and who we have in our lives at any given time. And when we focus on the things that matter most to us, that energize us most, that's when we find true balance and true happiness.
And I like that. And I think, you know, again, most of our listeners and our audience is professional women. You know, I think instinctively most of us, Deidre, know that there is no work-life balance. Yet, you know, for whatever reason, and you know, you've done research on this, so I want to talk about your book as well. It's like, why do we keep coming back to thinking that we can actually have that? You know, I mean, I know it logically. There is no work. Like, but I love what I do. For me, as a small business owner, I love it. And yet I hear so many people that say, oh, my gosh, it's like I need more time. Or what is the answer for finding your all? I mean, when you start looking at what you love and don't do, give us maybe three tips or something on how do we find our all. You know, you started on that, and then I kind of interrupted you.
Well, I think the thing about finding your all is you have to get to know yourself best. One of the reasons that we struggle with this work-life balance issue is because I don't think it's out there that we can't have it all. First of all, someone my age was brought up at a time where you better try to have it all, because women now have rights, women now have opportunities. It's kind of up to you to take advantage of all that. You can't waste all of these opportunities. And a lot of people are out there saying, yeah, I can have it all. People are on Facebook showing themselves on vacations and at work and with their kids. And there's this kind of falsehood out there that you can. And I think if we mm-hmm. really get down to it, what we need to do is be real. And the first person we need to be real with is ourselves. One of the pitfalls we fall into is we fall into the should game. We should on each other. And because I'm doing this certain job, or I think someone else needs to get promoted into this other business, then they're shoulded into thinking that they should do that. And so we wind up getting into jobs or getting into relationships or getting into clubs or associations or networks that really aren't the best for us because we think we should. So what we really need to do, and what my book does, is really help you assess what does matter most to me. I will tell you that every single year, at the end of the year, I do a personal strategic plan. And I reflect on what fed me the most that year and what I didn't really love, what people did I really appreciate having around me, and who did I let myself gossip with and complain with and let my energy come down with. And I make really specific choices, and I rank them. And I think, okay, of all the things, these are the top three things I did in my business that I really loved. And so this is where I'm going to focus my energies on growing this year. And this has helped me change from being a coach and being a teacher to changing into some of the other work I do now around my speaking and my facilitation. I've literally changed my business and changed the makeup of my life based on these very intentional questions. What winds up happening
interject a little bit, because I, you know, wow, you got so much and I have so many questions, so stop. Just stop.
Yeah.
No, it's great. You know, in your book, it's like when you look at the personal strategic plan, I don't know, is that in your book? Because I got a couple questions on that. So can people find the kind of personal strategic plan stuff in your book? Is that
There's a whole section that has you assess what you want and need and love in different areas of your life. So career, partnership, family, and the people around you. And then there's a section that actually has you rank it all, value it all, and decide what you're bringing in and what you're decreasing and how you're going to do that.
And I love that piece because, you know, so many people say, okay, for a lot of our members that are women owners, you know, and even if you work for corporate America, you know, everybody says do a business plan or a strategic plan every year. But if I'm hearing you right, you're saying do a personal plan, which is to evaluate how the year went. I mean, is that what you're saying? It's like do that in addition to the business.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, I
no one's ever said that.
Yeah, I mean, I facilitate the strategic plans for companies all the time. And that's how I thought, well, why are we being intentional with businesses but letting consequences run our own show? And so that's
right.
Why I try to be very intentional. The whole thing is we have more choices than we think we do, and we're not as intentional as we could be, which would make us happier. So those are the things that I try to examine at least once a year for myself and then make decisions around.
No, I love that. Talk to me about your book. I mean, The Bogus Balance, I know, is your book. And this is your third book, am I right? Third book author?
That's right.
You're
you're
in a status of very few people. And women, it's too well. So congratulations on the third book. Tell us the story of how the book came about for The Bogus Balance. Where was the inspiration and, you know, what was the kind of concept initially? And I got some more questions for you on your book.
Sure. I love talking about my book. You know, for this book, it was different than my other two. This one, I didn't have the answers figured out. The other two, I went into it knowing kind of what I wanted to write about and some of the answers I was trying to get to and the pain points I was trying to solve. What I knew with Bogus Balance is I was in pain. When I started my company and I started writing my first book, I was trying to have it all. Especially when you're an entrepreneur, you know, the day never ends. And with technology today, even if you're working for a company, the day never ends. You're accessible all the time. There's always more emails to send out. There's always more networking to do. And so what I found was I was putting everything into that and still trying to keep my marriage going strong, my health going strong. I was trying to stay with some of the other personal parts of my life that really fed me. And things were falling apart. I actually saw myself interviewed on a local TV station about a blog I wrote, and I looked at myself on the television and I realized I looked terrible. I had big dark circles, I had sunken eyes, my hair was stringy. It was just not, it showed me how stressed out and unhealthy I'd become. And my relationship really, you know, we started feeling more distance because I wasn't as present. And so I said, I have to do this out. So I started asking people, how do you find work-life balance? And that's how I realized most people don't. So what I decided to do is find people, instead of the whole work-life balance silliness, I found people who seemed genuinely happy, who were grace under pressure, who didn't sweat the small stuff, who could always smile, who just you could go to and trust, who had a good energy about them. And I asked them, how do you find balance? How do you make your choices? What do you do in your life that's led you to be this way? And what lessons have you learned? And so I did focus groups and I did interviews. And I also did some on the other side who were decidedly not balanced. And I everything they taught me, and I put it into the book. So the book, the whole first part is about my book, why work-life balance is not true, and how we kind of make it worse for ourselves by giving our tech all of the power and making up a lot of stories as to why we don't have choices when we do. And then the second part of the book is what we talked about, where you really do your own assessment, because it's a personal relationship with yourself and your sure. happiness as to what's going to make you happy.
A couple yeah. of questions on that. You know, you said you were doing all the interviews and things. What were a couple of the things that really surprised you that people came back and how they manage and handle work-life balance? I mean, what were, you know, because it seems to me it's pretty logical. We're like, oh, yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, I know I need to do that. I need to say no. You know, I need to kind of like set my standards, put my priorities down. But what were maybe a couple of elements that are in your book that were surprising to you and that, you know, you said are tips that people gave you? What are, will you share a couple?
Yeah. Sure, of course. I think some of them are kind of obvious. One of the things that these people had, they'd figured out their tech and they didn't let their tech have all their power over them. I talk in the book about how it's not just that we're accessible all the time, but that we actually get a little adrenaline shot every time we hear the ding when we get a text or an email because we like to be needed. We like to be important. And it's an unwrapped Christmas gift that until we see who it is, it could be anything. And so that's exciting. So they've figured out how to deal with that. They talked about not just about how they have their kids, but be really intentional about when they have their children. They talked about as couples, as far as their blissful relationships, allowing each other to have their own lives. Some of them went on vacation separately, interestingly. Some of them treated their 20s as a complete testing ground, and they believe that life was an evolution. So the whole thing about you got to figure everything out right now and what you want to do, not true. They're constantly evolving. And doing it really intentionally. And the big thing, again, was they all got that I'm going to do these things instead of these other things. And that's the big difference between having it all and having your all. We try to have it all. It's a nice idea, but it's a fantasy. And so if I focus on what I love most, I'll be happiest. And if I know what that is from the beginning and I stay true to me, that's what's going to make me real enough to do it.
So do you find, too, that it's like depending on someone's stage of life, that also depends on what, you know, you pick as work-life balance? Because I think things change as you get older or you're at a different place in business or your career or, let's say, you know, family stage. Do those kind of things, and maybe that's why you do the personal assessment every year. Is that right?
Yeah, that is why. And actually, the book has an appendix so that you can follow up and do it again, because that's absolutely true. People have said, you know, in my 30s, I focused on my business more. And now it's about my grandkids. Grandkids played a lot into this. I have a lot of quotes, actually, from people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and some from their 70s, because they learned a lot of lessons. But they did change over time. What they knew, though, even looking back at the lessons they themselves learned, is they had to make choices all along the way. And when they tried to have it all, they wound up suffering. And there's a part in the book, actually, that talks about the bogus bottom. A lot of them didn't realize they had to make choices until they hit a bottom and then realize, okay, I have to make some choices and either change this job because it's making me miserable or change this relationship or deal with my family a different way, only after they had enough pain to get there. So the book is really about helping you make your bottom as painless as possible, even though we all need to go through it in some way.
I think we need to play with those words already, making your bottom as painless as possible. Yes, I would like my bottom to be as painless as possible. Thank you.
Exactly. You're welcome.
I love it.
I'm
love it.
Here.
Well, tell me for, you know, for our listeners, it's like, you know, you are, I know you're award winning because I sat with you at the Novo Bravo Awards a couple of years ago when you won an award. But, you know, the book is great. What's the scope of Momentum, I mean, as an organization? So I know you do a lot of different things. What is the focus of your organization along with the speaking and the training, or is that what it is?
Well, it's basically that. So I am a Momentum is a training and facilitation company. So what I do is I help organizations exceed their goals and I help their leaders sleep better at night. That's my line. And the reason I know to do that is because I ran an organization before running my own company and I didn't sleep. I get really stressed out about a lot of things. A lot of it had to do with money and relationships and how we were doing with our board and how we were doing with our staff and all of the kind of pebbles in your shoe on the way to tackling the mountain that get in the way. And so what I do is I come and I do a lot of leadership and communication. I do balance training, helping people figure out how can I be a better leader. I have one called How to Be a Good Bad Guy for Managers, which we don't talk enough about. I think the hard thing is just because you're a content expert and you get promoted within your company a lot doesn't mean that you necessarily know how to manage. It's two different skill sets that are both very important. So helping people be better leaders, helping them be better marketers and pitching their companies better. And then I also come and do a lot of facilitations with teams and boards and staff, helping them set their goals for the year, helping them work through their dynamics. So those two pieces of my company, in addition to the books I write and my blog, are really the cornerstones of the services we offer.
No, I like that. And I think, you know, I mean, I'm kind of curious. So let's test the waters here a little bit because I know you can think fast on your feet. But, you know, when you see business owners or even just, you know, business leaders that, you know, say I'm not being effective because I'm not getting done what they have to do, how do you go in there with that when they're like, well, I need balance? I mean, I don't know if you ever get that, but to me it's like, you know, you're either doing the right things or to be efficient or are you going to be effective based on doing the right things? How do you deal with that with so many people that they're making the wrong choices, right? I mean, how do you deal with that?
Well, what you do is you look at everything they have on their plate, and then you get real. There's a part in the book that says we tell ourselves a lot of bogus. And some of the people who were not happy said, I'm terrible at delegating, or I'm too much of a control freak, especially for us entrepreneurs who own our own companies or we run a bigger part of a corporation. We don't want to let any of that go. So we tell ourselves we can't. So what I do is when I work with someone, we look at everything on the table that they've got going on, and then we get real about what they really, that's really part of their job. What feeds them most also, and then what are some parts that they could delegate out? Because one of two things is happening. Either their job description is unfeasible or they're working in an unfeasible way within their job description. So maybe it's a systemic problem and maybe the job itself is too much for one person. More likely, the person is not working in a functional way. Either they're taking on too much stuff or they're getting distracted or they're, you know, they're procrastinating or they're focusing too much on one thing over another. So we have to get down to the root cause of the problem and then actually come up with some practical solutions to pick what matters most and let the rest go. And that often includes self-discipline. When you have to let stuff go from your life or delegate in a different way, how are you going to do that? And what are you going to say to yourself when you are tempted to take on another project instead of letting it go to somebody else? And that's what's part of it too.
No, I love that. I think it's so tough, though, in corporate America. Like, one of the things I hear, and maybe this is for some of our listeners as well, so many corporate women, you know, every year you get your goal set, right, no matter what your role or position is. And let's say you're in a management role, you know, you get budgets that are cut, continuing to do more with less. On top of that, it's like one of the things I hear a lot, you know, Deidre, is that women will say, gosh, you know, we got our new kind of goals and plans for the year. It's like these goals are unattainable, especially for women who are in a business development role or those that have, you know, sales goals to meet. So how do you work with that knowing that, and I came from commercial banking, and it was always amazing to me that it's like, well, okay, if you reach this nut, now this year we're going to ask you to do more, which I understand.
Exactly.
I understand the game.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's almost like unachievable. So how do you work in that environment with companies to go like, really, let's get real here because this is almost like unattainable, but I understand you want to stretch us. But then I hear from a lot of women that say this is just so impossible, and then you get burnt out, then you get frustrated, and then it's like you just give up. So what would you say to any of our listeners in that scenario?
Well, I'd say a couple things. First of all, the best thing you can do is be part of the goal setting itself. That's sometimes a luxury. And being really feasible yourself. I'm a tougher boss on myself than anybody else. And so I think that being part of that goal setting and being really honest and stretching yourself but in a feasible way is a good thing. The second thing, and I talk about this in the book, is having a good boss. I mean, part of it is having a boss that you can go to, and this is scary and hard for a lot of us, and saying, I'd like to talk about these goals. I'd like to talk about what I think we can achieve and why I think this might be setting us up for some problems. And so hopefully you have a supervisor you can do that with. If not, you got to work on that. If you don't have a relationship with your supervisor or your boss where you're not getting your needs met, and I talk about this a lot in the book because it came up a lot in my research, or what that I call list search, then you need to work on that. And you need to figure it out. And the third thing, and this is the most important, is you need to be okay and you need to be square enough to say, I can't do all of this. I am not a superhuman, and I have to tell you what's feasible. Because what happens is our self-esteem and our ego and our fear of having people think we're a failure gets in the way of us being honest. And we compare ourselves to other people. I love the line about we compare our insides with other people's outside, so we think they're fine and we're not.
I love that.
So we need to be okay saying, we need to be okay with ourselves and not feel like a failure by being feasible and fair to ourselves and fair to the company. And that's one of the hardest hurdles there is.
It made me pause, girl, only because I think I'm going back to my commercial banking days, and I remember, seriously, we'd get our goals and be like this guy with, you know, the manager, the senior vice president would go, well, here's your brand's goals. And, oh, by the way, you've had no input on it. And on top of it, it's like, you know, we're asking you to do more with less and you're going to have bigger goals. And you'd be like, really? And you just kind of look at it and, you know, and that's good advice. So I appreciate that. Because I do think so many women, it's like we just kind of passively, you know, again, organizations have their own agenda. But sometimes it's like it is impossible to meet what's shared with you. And, you know, it's not always about being happy. Because I'm looking at, I got to share with everybody, I'm looking at your marketing material that I got at an event, which is how we kind of reconnected. And I'm looking at these lovely smiley faces, and I'm like, is that possible? Is that possible, Deidre? Because that's the world and the life I want to live. I want to be happy all day long. Is that where we're going with the bogus balance? Or is that what you achieve, how everybody, as an end result?
No, you know, it's I'm glad you asked that question, because there's a lot of smiley faces on that flyer. And I think when I talk to my interview subjects, who I call my blissfuls, about it, really, it's moments of bliss. It's moments of bliss and moments of joy. And all throughout the book, I've sprinkled out what bliss means to them and put those nuggets in so we remember what we're doing this for. But ultimately, what it really is what I described about my interview subjects in the beginning. It's this constant sense of feeling fed, of having a meaningful life, and an underlying sense of tranquility and happiness. And so, you're going to have moments of stress. And you're going to have a couple of days where you're trying to hit a deadline, or you have a fight with somebody and it's going to make you feel terrible. Or maybe you do fail at something, and failure is just another word for learning, right? But ultimately, most of the time, you're happy with your life. You feel like you have the people in it you want. You feel like you have the activities in it you want, whether that's work or different projects you have going on, or different groups that you're in that are social. And so you feel all around very content. There's nothing, there's an underlying sense of tranquility and happiness most of the time. And I think that's the greatest thing that we could have, is just that common sense, kind of like a river always flowing underneath us.
Well, I love your term bliss, because it's like, you know, I mean, it's comforting to know that we all go through a lot of different things. But your book sounds amazing. So a couple things, because I know you have an event coming up. I want to make sure I give you time to be able to bring that up. But people, how can they reach you? Is your book available on Amazon? How do people go find the Bogus Balance?
To all of that. So my company is, again, Momentum LLC. I'm glad you like the name. And my website is makemomentum.com. So makemomentum.com. If you want to look for Bogus Balance, there's bogusbalance.com. And it is available on Amazon as a paperback as well as an ebook. It's also available through barnesandnoble.com as a Nook and on iBooks. And my event, can't wait for it. It's on June 12th in San Diego, in Liberty Station. And so what that is, it's really taking you through the process of the book in a truncated sense in a day. And the nice thing about it is it's a very safe space. It's going to be a beautiful space. We're going to bring in great food, lots of great partners. I have the Women's Foundation, San Diego Women's Foundation, Athena, USD, they're all partners. And so it's going to be this incredibly inspirational day where you walk out with your blissful blueprint. with that section about, okay, this is what matters to me, and frankly, here's what I'm going to do with the scary change that's involved. And also as part of the day, you're building a little bit of extra community so that even after the day is over, you've got people around you who can help support you, because we all know that a one-day process isn't going to get you there. It's the ongoing work to create change, which is scary, but in the end will lead you to greater happiness. And that's all coming up full day, really awesome day on June 12th, and that you can learn about at focusbalance.com.
Very cool. Okay, leave us with one or two other nuggets that you can share with us as a final note. So what else should we know here about finding our all, right? Making sure that we're focusing on that, not having it all. I love that, got to say. So give me something else. Give me two more things as a wrap-up, and then we're done.
Okay. So the thing I would say is you have more choices than you think you do. You have more choices than you think you do. We tell ourselves we don't, and it's sometimes you do that for lots of reasons, but you do, and you deserve your happiness. And then the second thing I'd say is you're an awesome, authentic person. Everybody listening to this is an awesome, authentic person. And when you are allowed to be the most authentic, awesome you that you are and live the life you're meant to live, that's when you're going to be happiest, and that's when you're going to shine to other people and make a difference in other people's lives as well. And so being true to you and making those right choices to get you there, that's the name of the game. And you can do it. You can absolutely do it.
Girl, you are so inspirational. I'm going to walk around all day today, the rest of the day, going, I'm authentic and I'm awesome and I love
and you are.
Oh, my God. You were great. All right. Well, listen, I hope all of you got the information for Deidre's program coming up on June 12th. So make sure, again, go to Bogus Balance if any of you are interested in signing up for the workshop here in San Diego. For those of you in out of state, out of the Southern California area, I hope you'll get her book called Bogus Balance. Deidre, you've been an absolute delight. I want to say thank you for being our show. I want to thank all of our listeners, as we're going to be back not Monday. I hope everyone has a happy Memorial Day weekend. Remember the veterans, that's who we're, you know, needing to remember and say thank you for on Monday. We'll be back with you next Friday. And our leading lady next Friday will be an amazing woman who talks about stilettos in the workplace environment. So she will do some just, I think, incredible information. She, too, is a book author. And it has been my pleasure, Michelle, to be your host today. Again, Deidre, thank you so much. And to our listeners, thanks for listening. One thing I always ask of all of our listeners as professional women, please go out there and try to support one another. Biggest thing we can all do. Have a great rest of the week. Bye.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.